turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. The Lord confronted me with this passage in this past week, and I would like to share a bit more with us all about what he is teaching, not just me, but us as a church in this passage. Of course, this is written by Peter, the apostle, and written primarily, as you read through this letter, to suffering saints, people who are suffering because they believe and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not because they're bad people and doing criminal activity. It's because they follow the Lord. And this last chapter begins, of course, with an exhortation to elders. Specifically, it would be that pastor, elder, bishop position of which I find myself, to which I believe God has called me to here in this fellowship. And so, as you could imagine, very personal to me as I'm reading through this and realizing, God, this is where I'm at. And follow along with me as we look at this first section and consider this role of shepherd. So 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1 says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." I want to focus just on this concept of shepherd. The shepherd is one who cares for his sheep. And as you look at this text, Peter is exhorting those elders to act like, to be like shepherds, to feed the flock of God. As I considered this, I took this in my own heart and life and realized, well, not realized for the first time, but was again reminded that I am called to take the Word of God and help make it palatable and to give it in a pure manner. When it talks about feed the flock of God which is among you, this is not a soup kitchen idea. This is the literal Word of God that pastors are tasked with presenting in a way that people can understand and receive nourishment from it. Now, with that being said, the Spirit of God is ultimately the one who's in control of all of this. The Spirit of God is the one who has given us the Word of God. And the Spirit of God is the one who helps the preacher to understand and process and organize in his mind and in his heart the Word of God. Listen, the Spirit of God is the one who helps a preacher get up in front of people and faithfully declare the Word of God. Don't get it in your mind that this is an easy task, but this is a task that when people ask me about it, I tell them it's a spiritual exercise, and I mean that in every sense of the words. It's a spiritual work, and it is exercise. It is exhausting. But again, the emphasis, I believe, is important that it is upon the Spirit of God. But nevertheless, the elder, bishops, the shepherd, is to have this purpose. I need to feed the flock of God. When I come and to be with you, it is one of the convictions of my heart that I do the best to make sure the Word of God is a part of what we do. Because I'm realizing from texts like this that no matter what I may say, what truly matters is what God says. Why do we always have to have a Bible? Why do we need to have a devotional at a youth activity? Why have a men's breakfast and have to look at the scriptures? And notice I say have to, because sometimes we could have that attitude. Even me, as the preacher, can get weary of, oh, do I have to do a devotional today? And I'm not going to get all legalistic about this and say if we don't have the Bible at an activity, we're wrong. But I'm telling you, one of the things that God is convicting my and challenging my heart about is keep on making much of the Word of God. Because that's what provides the nourishment both for you, Josh, but for your people. You notice that the elders are confronted not just with feeding, but taking oversight of watching over. And doing so as a steward of God's grace, willingly, not for money, but with a ready mind. Not as lords over God's heritage, but as examples to the flock. And God challenged my heart as I think of that concept of example. In order for you to be an example to your children, parents, they need to see your life. As I was growing up, one of the things that left an impression, well, there's several things that left an impression in my mind, and I want to tell you something. I had the incredible benefit, not all of you have, and I realize that, but I had the incredible benefit of growing up in a home where my mom and dad loved the Lord. And listen, you're here today, make that a benefit for your kids. Young people, make that a benefit when you get married, you're marrying somebody who loves the Lord, so you can have a home and establish a family where that is the environment. But I had the benefit of that, and I had the benefit of being able, just about every day, to see my dad spending time with the Lord at the kitchen table. To look in the bedroom of my mom and dad's bedroom, and to look into that doorway and to see, I knew where my mom would be. She'd be in that chair by the window, and she would be spending time with the Lord. I knew what she was doing. That has left a lasting impression upon my life. You see, their example, it was visible. It was just not something that was said, it was visible. And so as Peter here exhorts the elders to be an example to the flock, so I've been challenged, listen, your life is visible, and live out your faith so that others might see and understand what it looks like for one person to follow after Christ. Now, do you realize what it means to be an example? Think about the ways in your life that you are an example to others. Older brothers to younger brothers, or younger sisters, or older sisters to younger siblings. Parents, you're a boss, you're the manager. However it is, think about what it means to be an example. Now, this context is for the pastor. And I have taken that as a challenge to, I need to make sure that there's a visible evidence, not just that I'm up here saying stuff, but that there's visible evidence for the Lord at work in my life. That's important. Not that I'm just saying words every Sunday, but that there's evidence of it visibly. That's an example. But I know not all of you are pastors or will be pastors, or whatever, but does that take away from the point of how important it is you are an example? Fathers, how are you being an example to your children? Ask yourself that question, men. I mean, I have a burden for men because men, as you go, so goes your home. That's usually the way it is. How are you doing? How are you leading your home? So this concept and thought of shepherd challenged my heart in these areas of feeding and using, making much of the Word of God, but also of being an example and making much of how important it is to live a visible life. And I'm not talking about just being putting yourself out there as a showpiece and saying, look at me. You heard the text. You understand what it means. You realize that it's the pastors are not to be out there saying, look at me and follow everything I do. The challenge is, pastors, you need to be the example and you need to do it right. Can you also understand this too? Pastors aren't perfect. Pastors will fail. There is no perfect church. There is no perfect pastor, but there is a perfect Lord. And there's the perfect Spirit. And that is to whom we trust. Our trust goes there. Give allowance. But may we be faithful. I love what Peter writes, and he says in verse 4, when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away. How exciting and thrilling it is that the Lord realizes the challenges that go along with pastoring, and he says, I've got you. And listen, you're not the chief. I am. Woo! Amen to that, and you should say amen to that too. No matter who your pastor is, he's not chief. I don't bear that title. There is only one who is that chief shepherd, and you see it here. I thought through how the Bible speaks of shepherds and of the Lord, and we see here that he is the chief shepherd who is coming soon, and he will reward. But I also thought of how Psalm 23 puts it, the Lord is my shepherd. So we have a chief shepherd, but also we've got my shepherd. And churches, listen to that beautiful truth. My shepherd. And I think I've told you this before, but so many people love to hear that at their funeral. And so often they're unsaved people and they do not understand the concept of when we quote Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. They don't know who the Lord is, but you do. So the Lord is my shepherd. Is he yours? Have you embraced that personal reality that he's mine? I thought through of how he's the good shepherd in John chapter 10. He's the good shepherd. He's the one that takes care of his sheep. I was reminded of how it says in Hebrews chapter 13. Listen to this in 13:20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Not only is he the chief shepherd, not only is he my shepherd, not only is he a good shepherd, the good shepherd, but he is the great shepherd. And Peter earlier in chapter 2 reminds us that he is the shepherd of our soul. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25, we read, "For you were as sheep going astray, but now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." Yes, we have a wondrous shepherd. Yes, I have much to learn from him. In verse 5 of the text, "Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, and yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Whom resist, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. The church needs to understand shepherd and shepherding. But the church also needs to understand the battle that's raging. We're sheep, and we're out there in a world that has got many things against us. Hence, it's so important that we have the shepherd. One of the things that we feel and we battle against is pride. We battle it regularly, don't we? We like ourselves. We like our way. And if you tell me how to do something, I got to get over that, over me, before I get in line. Right? It's that whole visual picture of when we're doing things, we have to step over ourselves before we actually are in line, because we make so much of us. And the battle that's raging in this world, why do we need this shepherd? Because pride is one of those things that, yes, God hates, but nevertheless, the pride of life is in this world, and it is something the church battles. You notice in this text that Peter says to the church, submit yourselves unto the elder. He provides one of the ways for helping us with pride is an order and understanding of elder and younger. I know so often when we're young, we balk at listening to those that are over us. One of the primary things in parenting is dealing with a lack of respect for the authority. That's what we deal with as parents so much, isn't it? Because we have to teach that. But even with this concept, those who are older, there's a responsibility to what? Be faithful. To be a good example. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So he says, you humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Is that because God is going to just squash you? I guess he could, but I believe the point here is the might of God. Not only do you understand I humble myself before him because of how great he is, but I humble myself before him because he's the one to whom I cast all my cares upon, because I know he cares for me. As this battle rages around us, not only is pride a part of this, but the devil himself. And that's, of course, a tool of the devil. And we see here, be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, listen, the church, we've got to live as if we have an adversary. Because we do. And when you realize that you have an adversary, you live differently. Now, we don't need to live in fear, because we know who the victor is. But nevertheless, we live in a world where there's an adversary. And the Bible warns us of that and tells us the importance of not just living in humility, but living with vigilance. Let us not be foolish. Let us realize that there are wolves that want to eat the sheep. Let us realize that the true shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, is good and great, and he is able and cares for us as his sheep. May we not wander. May we not go astray. Listen, that's what the devil desires. He desires to devour. But take heart. He can be resisted. And look at verse 9. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. resist him. Stand strong in the power of his might. In Paul's epistle to the Ephesians in chapter 6, he speaks of the spiritual armor, and it's the shield of what? Do you remember? It's a shield of faith that shall be able to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked one. The shield of faith. Notice here Peter writes, whom resist steadfast in the what? In the faith. Church, the emphasis here is on faith. Not on how strong you are or your abilities as a person or a communicator. It's on your faith. You think you can muster up enough ability in yourself to resist all those temptations that are out there in the world? Listen, maybe for a little short time, but if you are not a man or woman of faith, you will fall. It is your faith that gives you the bearings and provides you the foundation to stand strong. It is the faith that is able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And listen, you're not alone. Your brethren around the world are dealing with these same afflictions. Take heart, my church. You need a shepherd. You need to realize the battle is raging, and so therefore pursue humility and vigilance. Resist the devil, realizing you're not alone. There's an army of believers around the world that resist him too. He's not having his way in everybody's life. God is proving himself faithful over and over again in believers around the world. And I trust you're one of them today. I trust you know some today and are encouraged. Why do we spend time sharing together? Because we want to encourage one another about what God's doing and how he's working in one another's lives. Because Christianity is real. God is real. His Spirit is real. And when we hear this realness of what God's doing in the real world, it's an encouragement to us. That's our faith. That's the power of our faith. And so, verse 10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory. Just relish in this, believer. Listen to it. Take it in. But the God of all grace, who has called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while. Many times we want to take that part out, but listen, it's there. Why? One great help and encouragement to you in your walk with the Lord is when you come to realize and understand why trials exist in life. Why trials don't go away when you become a Christian. In fact, many times they increase. Why? Why? James tells us, Peter tells us, it's a growth. It's a growth stimulant for our faith. And you know it. When you are challenged in your life and you are poked and you're a man or a woman of faith, where do you go? Who do you turn to? I trust you turn to the Lord. And you turn to him and you lean in to him. And you watch him provide and you watch him work. So he has called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. After you've suffered a while, so he knows about suffering. He will make you perfect. He will establish. He will strengthen. And he will settle you. One of those words is going to minister to your heart today. Maybe all of them, but perfect you. Bring about some completion in your life. And ultimately, he will bring you to completion before the Lord. What about establish you? Do you feel all over the place? What about strengthen you? Do you feel weak? What about settle you? In your mind, do you fear? This is what our God of all grace does. We need a shepherd, church. He's our chief shepherd. Yes, God's placed pastors in your life. I have the privilege of being your pastor. You pray for your pastor. Realize the significance of the role of having a pastor in your life. But you know what? God speaks of Jesus Christ being the chief shepherd. How about the raging battle? What do we do about that? Be humble. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. What do we do about it? We live vigilantly because we've got an adversary and we resist him. So where's the comfort? It's that we have a God of all grace who is able, who is willing to perfect you, to establish you, to strengthen and settle you. So Peter's conclusion is, to him be the glory. To him be the dominion. Forever and ever. Amen. Is that the prayer of your life? Is it? You walk away from a day yesterday and the pride says, I wonder if anybody saw what I did. Did anybody see how hard I worked? Did anybody see how many people I talked to? The pride. You know what I'm talking about. That can go through our minds. Oh, may we be people who realize that's the scheme of the devil. And my answer to that is no way. Listen, I've got a God of all grace, and I know to him goes all that glory. I know to him goes all the dominion and the power and the praise. It's for him. It's for him. Does that describe your life today? To him be the glory? I trust that it does. Lord, I thank you for the blessing of the Word of God. And I thank you for its encouragement for us as a church today. For me as an individual, as a pastor, but also just for us as people who live in a raging battle. We thank you for your faithfulness, for your grace. Encourage your church today, Lord. Encourage my heart. I believe you have. May we trust you and believe in your truth. In Jesus' name, amen.